The Holy Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. Glory to you, O Lord. In this account of an appearance after his resurrection, Jesus opens the minds of the disciples to understand him as Messiah. Jesus convinces them that he has been raised and sends them on a mission to proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness. Jesus himself stood among the disciples, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why did doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is the gospel of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. When Pastor Jeff told me that he was doing a sermon series and he had a name moving from lost to found, he asked me if I wanted to change that name. And I told him, I said, "That's a perfect name for the message I have to give today." I said, "God must ordain that day and that name." And so moving from lost to found is the sermon title today. And I will be preaching mostly on 1 John chapter 3. There was a certain medieval monk that announced that he would be preaching next Sunday on the love of God. And as the shadows fell and the light ceased to come through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered. In the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle and he carried it to the crucifix. First, he illuminated the crown of thorns. Next, the two wounded hands. Then, the marks of the spear wound. And in the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and left the chapel. There was nothing else to say. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a greater expression of love than the sacrifice that God made on our behalf at the cross of Christ. That he gave his only begotten Son that we may be called his children, so that we can all move from lost to found. The first verse today, chapter 3 of 1 John says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. This was John expressing his awe in the incredible love of God that moved him not just to save us from our sins, but to call us his children. God was inviting us all, no matter how far gone, into his family. And John was expressing his awe in this love of God. So the questions posed: are we all children of God? Well, we are if we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But until then, we are just God's creation. You see, there's a condition in being a child of God. Whether we grew up with a silver spoon in our mouths or we were brought up in the ghettos of the city, we must believe and be born again to be a child of God. The Gospel of John chapter 1 says that Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This speaks of being born again into the family of God. We must never forget that the condition of being a child of God is to put our trust and our hope in the saving grace of the cross of Christ. He is risen. Amen. The second half of that verse says that the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. You see, now that we've become children of God, we become strangers and aliens, if you will, in this world. Remember, this is not our home. We are just passing through on our pilgrimage to eternity. Hebrews 13:14 says, "For we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." The Bible tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. The world, as much as some of us may enjoy it, is only temporary. And thank God for that, because as we await our Savior and we await our crown, guess who has temporary rulership over this earth? Satan. And I say temporary because the deceiver's already been defeated. Amen? He's already been defeated at the cross. Christ is risen, and that is a hope that can lead us all to Christ, no matter how far we've fallen. 19 years ago, Satan was deceiving and ruling over me as well. I was lost in a world of sin, and it seemed that I would never get out of that pit of hell. But God had a plan for my life. Romans 5:8 said that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is a very, very powerful verse for those of us that are in recovery. You see, I may be a senior pastor of God's church today, but there was a time when Satan ruled over me. But the Lord would lead me to a little Lutheran church called Amazing Grace. And in time, the Holy Spirit would enter my heart and would change me forever. I would be delivered from a 20-year drug addiction, also from a 29-year addiction to alcohol. God is amazing, and all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, it didn't happen overnight or in the blink of an eye. No, it was a calling, and God was going to do it in his will and in his timing, not mine. I just had to be willing. First, God would take away my addiction to drugs, which was a miracle in itself. But delivering me from the sinful ways I'd established in my life would take many, many years. Years of sanctification, if you will. It would all start in the music ministry as I played drums most of my life. I would start playing worship music for church on the street and eventually for a worship team in our church. I would then attend Curcio in the spring of 2008, weekend number 116, Table of Matthew. And God would continue to do a mighty work in my life. A year later, I would meet my beautiful wife, Sarah, who would eventually come alongside of me and my mother to lead a ministry of Celebrate Recovery, which we continue to do today. And in 2016, I would truly embrace God's calling to the church and start to attend seminary to become a pastor. I was finally moving from lost to found. I was ordained and installed in February of 2021, and me and my wife assumed leadership of the church in 2022. The picture of me and Pastor Rick at my ordination. You see, we were now children of God, leading his flock in a church whose ministries spoke to our hearts and the hearts of our community. Verse 2 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." For those of us who are now in Christ, we are children of God. And for a long time now, that's given me a blessed assurance for this life and for the life to come. But how much do we really know about heaven and the life that is to come? There's very little information in the Bible about how heaven's going to be. I mean, we're told we're going to have mansions and streets of gold, amen? But I don't think we can comprehend much more of the reality of heaven than that. But the greatest part is that we will be in the presence of the Lord. And that's all we really need to know. Do we need to know more about heaven? Not if we have the kind of faith that God requires us to have to get there. Amen? It's about our faith. So as a believer, if someone asks you what heaven is going to be like, just say, it's going to be much, much better than what we're in right now. And we will have incorruptible bodies that feel no pain, no sickness, weakness. We're going to live forever, ever with the Father and the Son. We shall be like him and see him as he truly is. When he returns and we see him face to face, we shall become like him. And praise God for that. Amen? We say Maranatha, and it could be today. Verse 3 says that all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. John was saying that the ultimate goal of God and the cross was to make us more like Jesus every day until the day of Christ Jesus. This is a promise that we will be like him, incorruptible, pure, sinless, and eternal. That's a promise for all who believe, that we will be recreated in his perfect image. Praise God. Then he goes on to say that everyone who sins breaks the law. And in fact, sin is lawlessness. Now, the reason John's reminding us that sin is lawlessness is the fact that the Bible says that Satan is the lawless one. And he can rule this earth and us if we let him. Charles Spurgeon said, "Only in heaven are we out of gunshot of the devil." So true. And John is also saying that if we make a practice of sin, that we're following the role of Satan rather than the character of God. When we make it a point to come to the house of God, whether that's in a church service, a Bible study, a recovery group, or even a jail service, most times we have a decision to follow. We've made a decision to follow the character of God. We have turned from the devil and made a decision. And that's what Amazing Grace Church is all about. Leading others to Christ through our numerous ministries and outreach services. And your support for this mission is greatly appreciated. Yes, we all sin. We all mess up. But the person who makes a practice of it and in whom there is no repentance is condemned. Stott wrote, he said, "The first steps towards holy living is to recognize the true nature and wickedness of sin." We have to first admit our wrongs in order to begin the process of restoration and healing, both spiritually and physically in our lives. Verse 5 says that you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. John's saying that at its most basic definition, the mission of Christ is to take away our sins. The angel Gabriel promised Joseph regarding his ministry that of his soon-to-be son Jesus. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." You see, we cannot take away the penalty of our own sin. It's impossible to cleanse ourselves in this way. This means we cannot earn it, we can't purchase it, so that none may boast. We must instead receive the work of Jesus in taking away our sins. This is his work in and through us. And someone who comes to Jesus does not have to clean himself up first. Our mission statement says, in our church says, to love all people to Christ. But we also say, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Verse 6, because verse 6 says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Now, this statement can be a slippery slope if it's taken out of context. Amen? Because living in the sin nature of the flesh is a daily battle. We all sin every day of the week. But never doubt your salvation when you know and trust in the finished work of the cross of Christ. Jesus came for the sinner, not the saint. But if we want to know him both now and in eternity, then we must hate the sin that tries to corrupt us every day, remembering that we are all sinners saved by grace. And that, my friends, is exactly what we teach and preach at Amazing Grace. We call it a no-fluff gospel for the hopeless, hope to the hopeless, rest for the weary, and peace for the persecuted. Our mission has been and always will be to lead others to Christ, both by our actions and by our words. And the Lord gives us the resurrection power to do that through his Holy Spirit. Our members and visitors have always stated that they can feel the Holy Spirit in our little church. And that's something that we are very proud of. In Luke 24, verse 46, Jesus told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And stay in the city we have at Amazing Grace, because that's where our mission field is. And as the Holy Spirit leads Amazing Grace Church, it leads us to the lost. Our ministries, from the Durango Jail Complex Ministry, which is up to 11 services a week now, praise God. And we just got word last week that once again they're going to allow us to bring communion finally to our inmates. Praise God for that. God is so good, and we're starting to see more and more inmates released and come into services at our church. As a matter of fact, the next slide, this is a brother Bill Fields who will be giving a message later on in the fellowship hall. He's here with us today. He came to know Amazing Grace through our jail services, and now amazingly, Bill is our buildings and grounds person. There's a picture of him being baptized and when he got married and with Pastor Rick. Not to Pastor Rick, but with Pastor Rick. he's here with his wife, Jennifer, as well. But so Bill is our buildings and grounds maintenance person now. He's also on our elder board. He's one of our elders. He's the first elder to ever come from our jail ministry. And he's just God has done an amazing work in him, but he'll be giving his testimony later. Amen. And then to our house of grace, our halfway house for women. This is Ashley, our latest graduate. She's been amazing. She has also been helped us with as a minister assistant in Celebrate Recovery, and she has graduated, and she is a very, very strong member of our church. And this ministry, this halfway house for women ministry, has been an amazing blessing to so many women from the jails that are in need of transitional housing. While trying to restore their lives and their faith, they come to the house of grace. Amen? And we are at our second location now and hope to own a property someday, Lord willing. Our founder, Pastor Robin, along with other board members and numerous supporters, work very hard to make this ministry a success. We also have a Celebrate Recovery ministry. That's Brother Robert there bearing his cross when he was helping me set up for Easter Sunday, or for, Ash Wednesday. And so Brother Robert is one of our success stories. He'll be giving his testimony in the fellowship hall as well. But the Celebrate Recovery ministry, which has entered its 10th year now and season, is a Christ-centered recovery which has changed many lives and brought quite a few new members to our church. This ministry has grown in so many ways, and our group can be as large as 50 members on any given Tuesday. And we are there every Tuesday night of the year. We also have a fellowship dinner at 6 p.m. before every meeting. And we are CR, and we do recover. Amen. Then to our food and clothing closet, food pantry and clothing closet. These are our food and clothing pantries, which supply everyone in need throughout all of our ministries while serving our homeless community and those who are desperately in need. We have many homeless people from the neighborhood and surrounding areas that come every week to have a meal so that we can witness to them. And occasionally they come to services as well. And when they want help off the streets, we have many programs for them and many ways to get them help and get them off the streets. So these pantries are a blessing to all those. And at almost every service, we are serving the community and serving others with our food pantry and clothing closets. And, finally, to our Shepherd of the Hills family, all of you, we want to express our gratitude and we want to give thanks for the many years of prayers, support, and fellowship in our mission for Christ. It is because of generous friends like you that we are able to do much more for the lost in our community. May we continue to strive to be the hands and feet of Christ as we move those that are lost in this world to being found in Christ. Amen? Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for this great love that you have shown us all as your creation, that we can and should be called your children now and in the present. And eternally. May we honor this blessing by living in repentance and putting you before everything else in this world. Father, we thank you that we can be righteous because you are righteous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.